New feature on the show, time now, Cress. Are you ready for this?
Right. Eurovision related, is it?
Absolutely not. No. I know that you've just come back from the shops and I'm going to guess what you bought.
Right. Okay. Because I'll say this. I just went food shopping, so...
No, don't give me any more details. I'm going to guess what you bought.
Okay.
Did you buy some bread?
Some red.
Bread.
Bread. Okay, I thought you said some red, and I was like, some red what? No, I didn't, no.
You didn't buy bread? Okay.
Well, I don't know. Do bagels count as bread? It's not really, are they? They're their own thing.
Did you buy some bagels?
Yes. Well, I just told you.
Brilliant. Yes. Absolutely fantastic. I knew I'd be good at this game. What a wonderful feature. One of many to come on this edition of... Nullpois!
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
So that's the end of that feature for the series.
That was great.
That's the first and final time we'll ever be doing that.
That's
thanks for that, Martin.
The feature that's going to win us awards.
Martin. I wish that was the case. Yes, I am Laura. That's Martin. I'm sometimes called Cress on this show. But, you know, you just have to go with that.
And in real life.
And in real life as well. Well, this is real life, Martin. I don't know if you realise, but all of this is happening.
Oh, is
in real
it?
Life. Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sorry to burst that bubble. But yes, we are.
How awful.
You might be surprised to know we're actually a Eurovision podcast and not some kind of weird shopping guessing game. And we do, surprisingly enough, still have Eurovision things to talk about this week, despite it being that kind of in-between period where nothing really happens. We do have lots to talk about, especially about tickets, Eurovision tickets, because they went on sale last week. Poor me, it's always me. I always try and get the tickets. And there's always some difficulty because, quite frankly, these tiny little websites that normally just used to hosting, you know, regional stuff that, you know, they're not expected to have global people from all over the world trying to get tickets. They always crash. And it's like literally no website I've tried to get Eurovision tickets from yet has just been a pleasant, easy experience. This one was a little bit better in that it didn't crash for me.
Okay, well, that's something.
So that was something. The only issue was, and this is what stopped... by the way, we didn't get tickets. I don't know if you knew this, Martin.
Oh, that was going to be my question. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we didn't get them. The first lot I tried for, we were really trying for semi-final one because I think everyone will be in agreement with this. It's the better semi-final. There's, you know, a lot more interesting acts in that semi. I was trying to get that. It wouldn't let me get less than 4 tickets, which I've never had before. There's only 3 of us going, and it said 4 and then there was a minus and a plus next to it, but there was no way of selecting less than 4. And if I tried to just select 3, it would say the minimum you can buy is 4. And I was thinking, well, I don't think that should be the case. It should be up to 4 that I could buy, not the minimum, because you could only buy 4 as well. You couldn't buy more than 4. And I was thinking,
strange.
Obviously, it was some kind of glitch, I'm sure. But it was very irritating because I could get those 4 tickets. But then I was thinking, what do we do? I was like, do we do a giveaway on the podcast? You could join us. Someone could come with us and sit next to us. But you would have to pay. That's the thing. It wouldn't be a giveaway. I would be expecting the money because it's quite expensive.
Worst giveaway. We'll give you a ticket, but you do have
you
to pay
paying.
For it.
But you'd have a chance to sit next to us and talk to us about Eurovision.
Wow.
So, I'll be honest, anyone who wanted to buy that, I would be quite worried about. But yes, so there was that. Then I tried for the second semi-final because I was like, okay, let's see if that's any different. That did let me select less than 4. But then we had to put in our IDs and then Martin was too late with his ID. I was frantically messaging Martin and our friend Lossie, being like, oh, okay, it needs IDs for all of us, not just me. Because I thought it was saying, oh, you need your passport number or driver's license, whatever. So I was like, that's fine, I've got all that ready. But then I didn't realise each person had to put that details in and Martin was too slow.
Well, I was running around the block.
What do you mean you were running around the block? You were running.
I was on a run. Yeah, I was running around the block.
You were too slow.
Okay, well, a bit of a disaster there. So you will be seeing us instead in the Eurovision Village in Turin. And then we're just going to sort of go and have a little look around Turin.
Yeah, and I think the good thing is that, or not good, but I think a lot of people, because it's a very tiny venue. When I looked at the picture, I was like, that's where Eurovision's being hosted. It's only about, there's going to be about 12,000 people watching, which when you think about it, is not a lot of people at all.
No.
So to be fair, I mean, I was quite lucky to even get through to the stage where I was able to select the tickets. I think a lot of people had issued just getting through to that. But I think a lot of people will have missed out on getting tickets. There are also, you know, if you're in the kind of Eurovision fan circles, you know, there's been a lot of issues with fan accreditation this year and sort of fan sites that do a lot of work covering Eurovision all year round haven't been given the accreditation this year. It's been more official media sites rather than fan sites. And that's caused a bit of a problem as well with some people who think, you know, they're spreading a lot of good news about Eurovision all year round. And, you know, all they want is one pass or something and they've not been given it when they normally are. So I think there's going to be a lot more people basically in the Eurovision Village than there would be normally, which does mean Marta will have to get there a bit early, I think. I think there'll probably be queues for that as well.
Right.
But yeah, we'll be going to the Eurovision Village, which I'm quite happy about because actually it's a nice atmosphere. If it's a sunny day, you know, you can have a beer, have a bit of food, watch Eurovision on a big screen with loads of fans. I think that's nice.
Yeah.
I actually... Obviously, it'd be lovely to see the artists up close, and that's a different experience. But I actually think this would be quite pleasant.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be nice. I've always liked the Eurovision Village. Very fun. And so I'm happy to do that again. And now I've got no choice, which is absolutely the case.
Plus, well, that was your fault, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. Right. Moving on quickly. And I need to tell you what's coming up a little bit later on in the podcast, because the return of an old friend in terms of a feature coming back very soon. So details on that in just a little bit. But first, the latest on Ukraine. Of course, the bookie's favourite still to win the Eurovision Song Contest. And you might sort of imagine the reasons behind why the bookies might be thinking that Ukraine would do well. And of course, the team there and Kalash Orchestra, who are representing Ukraine this year, jumping over so many hurdles to make this happen. And that includes all of the bits behind the scenes, which you probably don't really think that much about. Things like, where do you film the little postcard? How do you film that when you're in the middle of a war?
Yes, and also, you know, there was worries that this group, Kalash Orchestra, wouldn't be able to even get to Eurovision. That's now that the Ukrainian public broadcaster, they've said the group had received special permission to leave the country for Eurovision and for this promo tour. So that's good. It sounds like all systems go for them to be performing at the very least at the semis. But you're right. How do you perform a postcard, which, as I'm sure most people know, is, you know, the little introductory segments that air before their Eurovision broadcast. They couldn't film it in Ukraine, and I think that's fair enough, to be honest. So they travel to Israel Calling, which is like the sort of promotional Eurovision event in Tel Aviv, and they performed there, but they also filmed their Eurovision postcard there. And what they seem to have done is they got a huge green screen behind them and sort of filmed it using that, basically, which is, you know, quite clever of them, really. So it'll look as if they are in Ukraine.
Oh, right. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? So it'll be just like they're in Ukraine in terms of what you see on the TV.
I'm guessing that because they've got this green screen. I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming they will show Ukraine. What they will show of Ukraine, I don't really know. But I think that's probably the best way they could have done it, really. They performed it as well. They performed their entry, Stefania, in front of a group of young Ukrainian refugees and new immigrants in Jerusalem. And I've seen a video of it, and it is quite emotional.
I can imagine that. I can imagine that. Well, going to keep you up to date with what happens with Ukraine as the contest draws ever closer. And still, as I mentioned, very much the bookies' favourites. Personally,
yeah.
I'm not sure about the song myself, but...
I think, so just a quick word on that, is I basically think, the public, they'll get a strong public vote.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm wondering if the jury will kind of scupper them. I think the jury will give them points, because it's not a bad song. But
it's all right.
You know, technically, compared to some of the other songs, it's not the strongest. So I think they'll get a strong puppet show. I think they could be in the top three, possibly because of the public vote. But I would be surprised. I think that jury vote will let them down a little bit. But who knows? Who knows?
Moving on, and some really exciting news to tell you about a brilliant Eurovision podcast. Oh, my word.
Yes.
Have you heard about...
Norpois.
No, not Norpois. Oh. Not talking about that. No, this is a good Eurovision podcast.
Yes, Norpois.
No. We're joking, of course, but we are talking about now... a Eurovision Song Contest podcast, but it's the official one. There is an official podcast that they make. They run it for the course of the competition, really, from kind of now-ish up until presumably just after the final. And it was a bit of a shame, really, that they've decided to do that, because we would have been available. We could have done it.
Hello, woo-hoo. We're here. We're ready to talk. We're ready to present anything to get us off this shit. But... yes. I find it kind of weird that they've just decided to bring this out just now. It's as if they've suddenly woken up to the fact that there's loads of Eurovision podcasts and they're all very popular. I mean, it's been years. Why have they just decided to do this now? I'm sure obviously they'll be able to get any Eurovision acts they want and that kind of thing. But I do wonder, I just think, and I'm not even talking about our podcast here, but I just feel like the other Eurovision podcasts have a bit more to offer than this. Because I feel like this would be very much clean cut, speaking to the artist. And I guess if you want that, obviously, that's great. But I just feel a bit like, really? Could you not just let the other podcasts that are already doing that and much more do it?
I can only assume they've heard Norpois.
I think so.
And they've had two thoughts. One is, we could definitely do better than this.
Right.
And number two, if those two idiots can do it.
Yeah.
Then we need to get in on this act right now.
Yeah, quick. And they'll see it's not as easy as we make it look.
Yeah. It's certainly not as easy. It's far, far easier than we make it look.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So an official Eurovision podcast, an official Eurovision hiccup Prosecco.
Yes. Now, I'm much more excited about this news, and I feel like we should try and get some of this when we're in Turin. I don't know if it's going to be available or if it's one of those sort of... things that you see and then you can never actually buy. But yeah, because it's Italy, the first official Prosecco of Eurovision is to launch. And in the sort of blurb, they say, oh, it wouldn't be an Italian Eurovision without fantastic food and drink. Well, we've only got the drink at the moment.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. We'll stick with that, shall we? It's called In Vivo Ex Unity.
In Vivo Ex Unity.
It says bottles will be available in stores in Europe and beyond from April. I don't know. If I nip to my local Tesco, am I going to see this?
They're not going to have a bottle of In Vivo.
And people be like, have you got any of that Eurovision Prosecco? I want a bit of that. Somehow I don't think that's what, you know, the locals are going to be asking for. This is what it says, Martin. We've got more specific stuff. It does say Unity will also be available in the UK. So somewhere in the UK. Actually, this could be a little task we set our listeners. Can you bag yourself a bottle of this Prosecco? Take a picture of it. We want to see. Can anybody find this Prosecco in their sort of local supermarkets or retailers? I don't. The prize will be a Eurovision seat, but you will have to pay for it.
No, we can't even offer that.
No, I'm joking. That isn't the prize, obviously. Please don't think that is the prize. The prize will be that you've bought this Prosecco. That's great. Well done.
To be fair, you don't even have to buy the Prosecco.
You don't even have to buy it. Just take a picture of it. Can you find this Prosecco? Apparently, it's going to be available. It will be available at Conad in Turin. So maybe Conad. When we go to Turin, we've got to buy some, haven't we?
We've got the Conads on that. Yeah.
Oi. And apparently, European stockists in Sweden, Norway, Finland... Bulgaria, and then it also says it'll be available UK, Cyprus, Israel, Iceland and New Zealand. So can you find us this bottle and tell us what it tastes? Does it taste like Eurovision? Let us know.
Big moment now, Cress.
Yeah.
Big moment.
Right.
Because
okay.
It's the return of something that hasn't featured on this podcast for quite some time, and people have been saying, why aren't you doing it? When's it going to come back? Please do it again. It was my favourite bit of the podcast.
Us.
I loved it, and I want more of it. It's time for the return, Cress, of
Trivia time!
Oh, it's back! The bit of the podcast where you get to find out a little bit more about Eurovision that you didn't know before. And it's Cressy who's got that information for you this time round.
It's Mimi, yes. And the one I've got today relates to a specific Eurovision artist who's performing this year, and that is Sweden's Cornelia Jacobs, or Jacobs, but I think it is Jacobs, and her song Hold Me Closer. Now, can you, is there anything, I don't know if you've watched her full performance, because I watched Melody Festivalen. Was there anything that stood out from that performance, for any little bits that you saw of her, anything that you thought?
I have only seen little yeah. bits, but what I saw was this, she had this sort of glowing background behind
yes.
her, this colourful yep. sort of, I don't know what it was. It was just this, like a big circle behind her.
Big that, glowing
that's the
circle.
Only bit I really remember, a big glowing circle.
Right, well, that's not what I'm going to be talking about, but but another
okay.
thing,
I thought you were doing a whole thing about glowing circles. No.
So, it's actually the fact that she performs it all barefoot.
Oh, didn't
which is
that.
Quite unusual, and also not something I would go for as an artist, I'll be honest, because you know, just the danger
splinters.
Of stepping on some splinters. Yeah, Cornelia, you've got to think about the splinters. But the funny thing is there've actually been 5 barefoot winners in Eurovision history. So maybe it's a strat she's working on.
Okay.
Now,
I can tell you at least one of them.
Yeah.
Because I know that Sandy Shaw
yes.
was barefoot with Puppet on a String, because that was a
correct.
Big thing about Sandy Shaw at the time. Remember it well, back in the 60s.
Yes, I was going to say, I don't think you were alive then.
Yeah, me and Sandy. We go
what?
Way back.
What do you mean, you and Sandy?
Yeah, me and Sandy, we go way back.
Oh.
Yeah, we used to walk along hand in hand with our
barefoot.
Bare feet. Yeah, along the pavement. And then I used to get grit in between my toes. It was horrible. And then I'm going to say Loreen.
Yes,
I remember
very
her doing,
famous.
Yeah, I remember her doing Euphoria with the bare feet.
Yeah.
I can't think of any others, though.
Right, well, yes, they get a bit more obscure. I thought you might have got one more. Have you got any idea who the 2013 winner was? And I'll give you a clue. We went there in 2014.
Oh. Okay, I know where we went in 2014. We went
I'm
to
glad.
Copenhagen.
Yes, we did, yes, because
Denmark
won. Denmark.
Oh, is this somebody, something does something? Emily
yes.
De Forest.
Yes,
Emily
that's
De
it.
Forest.
That's
yes.
right. With, can you remember her song?
Oh, no, I definitely can't remember her song.
No, that's not the song. No, that's the song you had in your head. It's Only Teardrops, 2013.
Ah, yes, yeah.
Only yeah. Teardrops. So Emily DeForest, 2013. Going back now a little bit, you got Loreen in 2012. Going to 2008 was Dimmer Bilan, which was Russia, and Believe. They also barefoot. It was the winning Russian entry in Belgrade, sung by Dimmer Bilan, and barefoot. Bare feet all round there. Finally, 2003. Sertab Arena. I'm sorry.
Every way that I can.
That's
I
it.
I try
yes.
to make you love me. I remember
yeah.
that one. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
For, is that for Turkey. Yeah.
Yes, it was Turkey. Yeah, so there we go. There were 5 barefoot winners. So maybe Cornelia could be getting, you know, just thinking, oh, maybe I'll get in on this bare feet action, and that's where she's going. I mean, I think it has been tipped to do pretty well so far. So, you know, maybe that those bare feet might just give her a little extra few points.
Thank you very much for that, Cressy, for that edition of
Trivia Time!
Don't run in the corridors, pick your rubbish off the floor, we're learning. Look, great Eurovision hit.
It's not. It's just some little silly traffic song that you sang as a child and you've got it mixed up.
Oh, never mind. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to Norpois, by the way, this time. Hopefully lots of information there for you. Great to get back to trivia time as well. Love a bit of Eurovision
it's fantastic,
trivia.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it just great? It's what's going to make us the big bucks. I can feel it. We'll soon be able to afford a pint of Eurovision Prosecco.
Pint? A pint?
Yeah, I'll have a pint of Prosecco, please. Pint okay. of your finest Eurovision Prosecco. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much. And thank you for getting in contact if you've done that already. I always mention this. We genuinely do love hearing from you. When the little email pings into the inbox, I fill with glee. So thank you very much for emailing, for tweeting, for getting in contact on Instagram, however you're doing it. Thank you for it. And lots of people have been doing just that.
Yeah, so we asked on our Twitter, which you can follow, at Poirot, we asked people, did anyone get tickets for Eurovision? Because obviously we didn't. Thank you to, I think, Pavle, I'm not sure how you say that, who got in touch and said they got the family show of both semi-finals. So congratulations to you. It's interesting, the family show, isn't it? That's like the afternoon rehearsal, and the jury show is the evening rehearsal. Congratulations to you, Pavel, for getting that. Daisy, though, wasn't so happy. They said impossible since there was an information problem since the beginning. Unfair. Well, if you're talking about the websites being completely glitchy, I agree with you there, Daisy. Or if you just mean in general the fact that it took quite a long time for these tickets to come out and no one was really sure what was going on, then also fair enough as well. Sorry you missed out there. But do let us know as well if you want to still tell us, are you going to Eurovision? Let us know if you were lucky enough to get the tickets. We also asked from our previous episode, because we spoke to obviously the lovely Alexandru, who created My Eurovision Scoreboard. We asked on our Instagram, which is Nul Poir Podcast, you know, what is everyone's top three this year? Because that's what you do on My Eurovision Scoreboard. You rank everything. Basically, Meryl Streep, who is from the lovely Douze Poir Podcast, just said Sweden, Sweden, and Sweden.
Sorry, did you say Meryl Streep?
Basically, Meryl Streep. Yeah, that's the that's the name of Jack from Douze Poir.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I thought you were just glossing it.
Meryl Streep.
So Meryl Streep got in touch, and yeah, thanks for that, Meryl. Sorry, what?
No, basically Meryl Streep is the tagline. I mean, I've just doxed him now, but there you go. Yeah, I don't think that's much of a dox. Yeah, basically he said Sweden, Sweden, and Sweden. So I think that's telling us something there. And RTC Man said Italy, Greece, and Ukraine. So there we go. That's two of my top three, I have to say. So thanks for letting us know that. You can still let us know. Comment on that post there about who your top three is, or let us know, obviously, by Twitter as well. And if you want to get in touch by email, you can do. It's just nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to see any pictures. If you managed to find this Prosecco, let us know. Tell us what your top three is this year. Or are you going? Did you get tickets? Or are you going to be around the Eurovision village? And yeah, just let us know anything that's coming up to this contest, your thoughts, your top threes. We'd love to hear from you.
Or if you've been to the shop, what did you buy?
Yeah, I'm not really bothered about that.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Nul Poir.
Nul Poir.
Give me another item then. I'll guess another item.
Okay.
Did you buy carrots?
No. That's the end then.
That's the end of that.